This is Fenton Dunn, and you're very welcome. No corporate candy floss news, no political spin. Truth Radio by Internet. Here, the expression is still free. You're on the inside track from breakfornews.com. It's Monday, the 14th of February at 3 p.m. Eastern, and you're very welcome to the inside track. Happy Valentine's Day to lovers all around the world, and welcome to Lovers of Truth Radio to another edition of the inside track on breakfornews.com. And this is Fenton Dunn reporting. And boy, are we off to a bang this week. What an interesting day yesterday. We had some breaking developments yesterday, even as I was working away on analysis of Popular Mechanics' assault on the 9/11 skeptics movement. And so, I've dropped everything to bring you news of breaking developments, seismic shifts in the 9/11 movement. Now, there were two or three significant developments yesterday, and let's work our way towards it by means of belly buttons. The sight of a female belly button, does it make you want to smack that woman on the side of the head? No? I'm glad to hear that. However, some very prominent sections of the 9/11 movement will shortly be hanging out with people who have views like this.
I have seen more belly buttons in the last few years, and I've seen it in my whole life. Women out there that are wearing these low-cut pants with their belly button hanging out, you know what? That is revolting. One of them belly buttons winks at me, and I want to slap her up alongside the head.
Well, there you go. I mean, it's only natural, isn't it? See a belly button, you want to smack somebody. But what on earth are serious, so-called, allegedly serious representatives of the 9/11 movement doing hanging out with these kinds of individuals? Well, we have underway a major shift to the right, a major right-wing move by sections of the 9/11 deniers, and some of the most high-profile sections at that. And they'll be beaming their skeptical beliefs of 9/11 all over radio networks which contain those kinds of views. Do you think that might affect the credibility of the 9/11 movement? Well, do you think a duck quacks? Of course it's going to affect the credibility, but that's what's going down, folks. And we'll bring you the full story of that today. It all began on Sunday afternoon in a special broadcast, an interview on Wing TV. Wing TV is an internet news site run by Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani, and they co-host interviews with a variety of alternative opinion. I've been on the show myself. But then, you know me, I'll go anywhere to get the message out to new listeners who aren't aware of the kind of work we do here. I've also been on Michael Corbin's A Closer Look, on Born on the 4th of July, on Maria Heller's show, and even on Alex Jones' show a couple of times, in fact. Shameless, I know, but there you go. Maybe they needed my credibility as much as I needed their promotion. Anyhow, yesterday, Wing TV made an announcement on the show. We'll get to that in a moment. But their special guest yesterday was Michael Rivero of WhatReallyHappened.com. Michael runs one of the most highly trafficked alternative news sites on the internet, even if he does bang on rather relentlessly about Zionism. But you can hardly fault him for that. After all, who's in favour of Zionism? He's also a bit of a promoter of peak oil. That's the theory that we're all running out of oil. And if we are, of course, the best thing we should do is leave all the profits with the oil companies, because they need them to find more oil, you see. Yes, I'm being sarcastic, and many people believe that the peak oil issue, which is heavily pushed by Michael Rupert of From the Wilderness, is in fact an oil company-inspired plot to persuade us to keep our hands off their grubby profits and also to underpin George Bush's war in the Middle East. That's some background on Michael Rivero of WhatReallyHappened.com. And very early on in that interview, Victor Thorne drew Michael out on what is one of the core beliefs of those who suspect there's something seriously amiss with what happened on 9/11.
Our government not only attacked its own citizens, but killed its own citizens. Our government has done this in the past. So Michael, what are we dealing with?
Well, we're dealing with government-created terror and fear used to manufacture consent for an agenda, and there is nothing new with this. Such tactics go back even to Roman times, so there is nothing new in this. What is new is that the population, the general population of the world, because of the Internet, is becoming aware that governments do play these kind of dirty tricks on their own people in order to manufacture support for a war.
Right on. You can't really argue with Michael on that one. This is exactly the kind of dirty maneuvers governments get up to, and they're used to getting away with it. However, this is the first time they've ever tried such a misdirection in the era of the Internet. Then Victor put another question to Michael, taking us into exactly that territory which is so familiar to readers of his website.
Now, when we look at 9/11, there's many, many subjects discussed on the Internet, but there seems to be one in many circles that's still verboten or forbidden, and that's the Nation of Israel. Now, we know that there is a video of the dancing Israelis on top of the office building right when the towers were struck, and we also know through Fox's Carl Cameron about this Israeli spy ring, and many other sources, of course, too.
Well, hold on just one moment. That simplistic analysis takes an awful lot of stuff on face value. For example, it takes on face value that the dancing Israelis are cunning Mossad officers and at the same time dumb enough to jump up and down the street when the World Trade Center is falling down. Something doesn't quite add up about that, don't you think? The Israeli Mossad is supposed to be one of the most sophisticated intelligence operations in the world. So I don't think that you can just take on face value that dancing Israelis means that the Mossad were involved in 9/11. And the second point to notice there is that Victor Thorne is quoting Fox TV, Carl Cameron on Fox TV, as his source for the information there was a large Israeli spy ring in operation in the United States. Now, would somebody pinch me, or in the world I used to live in, Fox TV was a government-run disinformation news service, and yet suddenly it's an authoritative source on Israeli spy penetration of the United States. That said, let's hear what Michael's got to say. Sorry to interrupt, Victor. Please continue.
What do people need to know about Israel's role in 9/11?
Well, the issue is that Israel has a long history of what are called false flag operations, which are Israel will go in and attack a target, then leave evidence to frame somebody else. And because of this past history, we have to look at the Mossad agents who were arrested on 9/11 acting like they had this tremendous victory, cheering and dancing as the towers collapsed, and then the subsequent revelation that there was this huge Israeli spy ring inside the United States at the time, and look at the possibility that we've got another false flag operation here, which has tricked the U.S. into declaring war on Israel's target nations.
Well, once again, we have a simplistic interpretation of events. Israel isn't the only intelligence service in the world to run false flag operations. So it's just as likely that if somebody in United States intelligence wanted to plant responsibility for the 9/11 event on the Israelis, they would say to themselves, tell you what, let's get a few dancing Israelis, hype up the Israeli spy penetration of the United States, and we'll just pawn off the blame for 9/11 onto the Israelis. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that false flag operations can run either way. But the point here is not that I might agree or disagree with Michael Rivero on this issue. Michael Rivero is smart enough to know what a false flag operation is, and I can't quite bring myself to believe that he's not smart enough to be able to give you both sides of the story, to be able to give you the choice to make a decision as to whether the dancing Israelis mean what they seem to mean or mean something else. No, it's presented to you that there is only one possible conclusion. And the other point is that Michael appears to be promoting two views. I think it's time to make your mind up, Michael. Is it either...
We're dealing with government-created terror and fear used to manufacture consent for an agenda.
Or alternatively, if you buy into the evil plotting Zionist idea, is it...
We have got another false flag operation here, which has tricked the U.S. into declaring war.
So it's sort of make your mind up time. Is the United States the kind of government which carefully invited the Pearl Harbor attack in order to get into World War II and carefully staged the Gulf of Tonkin attack in order to get into the Vietnam War and therefore a cunning imperial power? Or alternatively, are they a bunch of dummies who could be tricked by the Israelis into starting a war they don't want? And what on earth is Michael Rivero doing pushing these simplistic analyses while also buying into a peak oil agenda that seems to only serve the oil companies? Couldn't be anything to do with the fact that his father was an oil man, could it? You didn't know that, no? Yeah, check it out. It's right there on his website. You can Google it. Try to search terms like Michael Rivero, father, oil, and tell Google to search whatreallyhappened.com.
I play a 6-string 511, but I ain't about to give in, 'cause I'm constantly just searching for that vibe. I believe in what I'm doing, though at times my life feels ruined, and my confidence needs lifting. No,
and I'll be back in just a moment with some more of that cozy conversation with Michael Rivero on Wing TV. You're on the Inside Track on breakfornews.com, and we're a real alternative news site, and I'll be right back.
Trying to knock me down, don't even hear the words you say right now, and that's not right. There's no rhyme or reason to what you say. Don't you think it's about time I have my day? I don't know why. Ooh, baby, so open up your eyes and see, 'cause it won't take the soul from me, no way. And that's the reason why.
And you're very welcome back to the Inside Track on breakfornews.com. And boy, was Sunday interesting. We're only at the early stages of Sunday. The day just got better as it went on. We are at Sunday afternoon and the interview with Michael Rivero on Wing TV, hosted by Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. Now, with some questions already swirling around in my mind, and they're not swirling there for the first time, by the way, about Michael Rivero and his rather simplistic analysis, well, I almost fell off my little computer stool. The next topic of conversation.
A few days ago, Michael Chasadosky came out with an article about the tsunami of December 26th, and in it he says that U.S. seismic and satellite systems were fully operational. So my question to you is, why didn't this information get out to the people? It could have saved tens of thousands of lives. And do you foresee any development of this real estate now that they've gotten the people out of there?
Well, I do know that, there were indications of the quake and tsunami, and what we're hearing officially is that the mechanisms weren't set up to make a phone call. I'm having a real problem with that.
Yeah.
The information and warnings could have gotten out. Somebody just decided that we weren't going to pick up the phone.
Well, blow me down. There's Michael Rivero of WhatReallyHappened.com presenting itself as a sane alternative opinion on the news, and he's saying that he thinks they deliberately didn't pass out the tsunami warning. Now, I wouldn't mind if there was some kind of a firm basis for moving into that territory, but there's absolutely none. There is absolutely no factual basis for that assertion. So I can't understand why Michael Rivero is putting that view forward. I mean, it just lowers the whole credibility of, well, the entire 9/11 movement when you get, oh, couldn't be meant to do that, could it? Well, there's a thought. Gosh, now that I come to think of it, that's one of those intelligence operation tricks, like false flag and poisoning the well. And there are a whole load of these techniques with sort of insider names. Michael Rivero knows the names very well. Now, I'm really scratching my head, and it's still only Sunday afternoon. Things got curiouser and curiouser later, but not before we touched upon an old reliable. It just had to come up.
Do you think Flight 77 hit the Pentagon?
Yes.
Okay. Second question. Do you think the government wants the American public to think that Flight 77 hit the Pentagon?
Yes.
Okay. Why doesn't the government just open up the doors to this hangar, show us the wreckage, and why don't they just come out with these videos of Flight 77 supposedly hitting the Pentagon, and they could put the whole matter to rest?
Well, I think the government very much does not want this matter to go to rest, because I think this whole this suggestion that there wasn't really a plane hitting the Pentagon is being intentionally fanned as a means of attempting to discredit people who are questioning legitimately whether we're being told the truth on the official story. And again, this is a very old tactic. It's called poisoning the well. They even did it, the government did it back during Jim Garrison's trial of Clay Shaw and the JFK assassination, where they planted a witness in his case.
Yeah, well, this...
Now, in the current situation, this idea that there wasn't really a plane at the Pentagon, we saw it just recently in the Popular Mechanics article. It is always the first thing that anybody who wants to ridicule the questioners of the official story will go to, is those silly people don't even think the plane was really at the Pentagon. But for those who are really looking into the arguments about that, I have just one simple question. If the government wanted people to think Flight 77 went into the Pentagon, and if they have to get rid of Flight 77 and all of its passengers anyway, why not go ahead and run into the Pentagon?
Okay, well, you'd have to be living on a different planet than this one if you hadn't come across all the questions about the Pentagon, and was it a plane, or was it a missile, was it an airliner, was it a small jet, and what exactly happened at the Pentagon. And when the first questions began to be asked about the Pentagon, people like Michael Rivero said, don't go anywhere near this story. This is a government plant. The focus on the Pentagon is a trap, and they'll shortly release actual footage of the airliner coming in and striking the Pentagon, and then the whole movement will be discredited. Well, here we are years later, and still they haven't produced that video. Not to say that they couldn't. After all, with a few years to fake it, they could pretty much produce anything at this stage. But in any event, Michael says, well, you still don't want to go near the Pentagon issue because you're actually taking the government on at their strongest point. But are you really? Whatever else you can say about the Pentagon, there is a shocking lack of aircraft debris and a stunning lack of serious damage to the front of the building. But here's a line of speculation on the issue of the Pentagon, and it's not one you come across that much. Please let me know if you know of anybody else besides BreakForNews.com putting this viewpoint. Let's just say, for the sake of speculation, and we are speculating alone here, merely speculating, let's speculate that there was indeed an operational group on the day of 9/11 which carried out, orchestrated, arranged, oversaw, supervised the 9/11 attacks. Let's just speculate further that that command center out of which the 9/11 operation was being run was based in the refurbished wing of the Pentagon. Now let's just speculate that there is perhaps one last act to be played out in this carefully choreographed drama, but it's one these individuals are not aware of. You see, dead men tell no tales. And what is that last act? Is it an incoming aircraft which takes out that wing of the Pentagon in which the operation center is based? Or is it an incoming missile which takes out that operation center? Well, perhaps it's neither. Perhaps, in fact, what happens is it's a bomb, a pre-planted bomb or bombs in that section of the Pentagon, and perhaps it's timed with an overflight either of an airliner or a small white jet. Personally, I go for the bomb as a planner. If you were planning this, go for the bomb. It's much, much more reliable. Things can go wrong with missiles, but that's just a personal preference. But at least you're hearing about a range of options here, aren't you? And that's what's so surprisingly disappointing about so many 9/11 conspiracy websites, is that the analysis is often so skin deep. But maybe it's not surprising after all. Maybe we shouldn't be so surprised that that kind of stuff might go on in alternative media. Certainly not if you consider what goes on in the mainstream.
The Jeff Gannon story is an example of how this administration plants individuals within the press pool under the guise of journalism. So let me ask you, to what extent do you think the mainstream news is being framed, manipulated, distorted, or created by our government?
I think it's very extensive, and again, this is nothing new. If you go out on the web and use a search engine for something called Operation Mockingbird, mm-hmm. you will discover that the U.S. government has been slowly moving to control the mainstream media since the end of World War II. And quite a few people highly placed in the mainstream media usually have connections to the Central Intelligence Agency.
And there is no question that an operation has been ongoing for years to take over, as Michael put it, the mainstream media. And the evidence of that is all around you. You just have to look at the appalling state of the mainstream media to see it. But if there was such a plan to take over the mainstream media, don't you also think there was a commensurate, if not in fact larger plan, to make sure that the emerging internet would not be a threat? And that just the same as in the mainstream media, you will find key individuals with links to the CIA, shouldn't you also expect that in the alternative media. Of course you should. In fact, if you were to boil it down, you could say the internet has three main types when it comes to alternative websites: government-operated disinformation websites, useful idiots, and real investigators. There's a little message at the top of the homepage of breakfornews.com. It says, the real alternative, not just another government fake. And I'm not saying that Michael Rivero and or Lisa Giuliani, Victor Thorne, Wink TV are government agents, because unfortunately there's far too plentiful a supply of useful idiots. Anyhow, I leave it to you to make that determination as to what's going on, but clearly the simplistic analysis which we're getting is not serving to uncover the truth. And that's bad enough, but it's not as bad as Sunday got, because we still haven't got to this gentleman, have we?
Women out there that are wearing these low-cut pants with their belly button hanging out, you know what? That is revolting. One of them belly buttons winks at me, and I want to slap her up alongside the head.
In part two of this show, we take a look at where these useful idiots or worse are about to take their rather simplistic analysis of 9/11. A broad section of the internet face of 9/11 skepticism is about to tilt rather severely to the right. And when I say right, I mean right wing. Won't believe it. And you're very welcome back to the Inside Track on breakfornews.com, where I'm still reeling. You see, at the end of that interview with Michael Rivero, Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani announced that they were to appear later Sunday on the Rick Stanley Show, Standing Up for America. And I was just a teeny bit surprised, and I was even more surprised at what they said when they got on the show. But if you don't know who Rick Stanley is, well, maybe you should. Rick Stanley came to widespread attention when he openly carried a firearm in Denver and was arrested and tried. That got him a lot of attention, including the front page of the Rocky Mountain News. And Rick Stanley certainly knows how to play the publicity game. He was calling for Senator Wayne Allard to be hanged for treason. With deft touches like that, Rick Stanley soon turned his popularity into a bid for the US Senate. Predictably, perhaps he didn't make it to US Senator, but nevertheless, Stanley's touch for publicity didn't desert him, and his next idea, the Million Gun March, was another publicity grabber. And here's where it gets interesting, if not downright scary, because the text of the petition which went with that Million Gun March ran along these lines: "We mutually pledge to each other on our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor to peaceably assemble under arms on July 4, 2003, at or near District of Columbia. Failure by the government to comply with the petition by July 4, 2003 may result in the activation of the Second American Revolution Militia." Should this action become a necessity, we appeal to the United States military and the various police agencies in attendance to join with your constitutional brethren to ensure the compliance of your government. Wow. Well, I'll give you my reaction to that in just a moment. Let me give you the reaction of Ari Armstrong, writing in the Colorado Freedom Report. Quoting, not surprisingly, a number of people who read this thought Stanley was calling for a possible armed rebellion. At first, Stanley was coy on the matter, but then he said he was not in fact calling for armed rebellion. But the common meaning of revolution is a war, and the common meaning of militia is a citizen army, so it's easy to see why Stanley's petition set off alarms. And if it set off alarms in right-wing opinion, you can imagine the kind of alarms that went off in my head when I heard that Wing TV's Lisa Giuliani and Victor Thorne were to appear in his show. After all, Rick Stanley has come about as close as it's possible to come to calling for armed rebellion against the US government. And I'm sorry, but that's my departure point from any interest, further interest. And speaking personally, I just could not support any individual who is pursuing means other than purely political means to address civil rights and other issues in the United States. I don't know if Rick Stanley's heard, but there was this guy called Mahatma Gandhi, and he threw the British Empire out of India, and he didn't use force of arms. And politics has been different ever since. Maybe just Rick hasn't heard about him. But the fully informed Citizen Associations of America heard about Rick, all right, and they put him on the radio, on the internet, on the American Voice Radio Network, where you can hear him every Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern. And it's from last night's show that you'll be hearing some audio. There's lots of interesting shows, by the way, on the American Voice Radio Network. You might want to check them out. For example, Monday through Friday, you can check out the Apocalypse Chronicles. I'll leave you to try and figure out what that show's about. Or how about Retaking America with Kerry McGinley? Later in the day, you could even check out Return to Womanhood with Joyce Leggett. And I bet you it means you don't get to show off your belly button. Some more great shows on Saturdays. You can check out New World Order Disorder with Dr. Gianni Hayes. But best of all, on Sundays, before you tune in to Rick, you can tune into Messiah's Branch with Pastor Dan. Or just before Rick comes on, you can tune in to Covenanter's Call with Pastor Mike Hoover. For classic pieces of modern American fundamentalism, such as this.
I have seen more belly buttons in the last few years than I've seen it in my whole life. Women out there that are wearing these low-cut pants with their belly button hanging out, you know what? That is revolting. One of them belly buttons winks at me, and I want to slap her up alongside the head. Excuse me, preacher, I shouldn't get off on that.
Hey, you, that's what we're here for, to share from Scriptures. Now, you stay tuned for the second half of the Covenanter's Call.
Oh, yes, it's one hell of a radio network. Well, perhaps that's a bad choice of words. But, you know, on the American Voice Radio Network, it's not all just apocalyptic forecasts, rants against immigration and fundamentalist religion. One of the highlights for me is Planet X and Bible Prophecy with John DiNardo. Now, if you haven't heard of Planet X, you don't know what you're missing. And hopefully Planet X will be missing us. But allegedly, apparently, Planet X is inbound and may pass by the Earth, may cause apocalyptic events, tidal waves, earthquakes. You get the picture. Yes, this is classic fear agenda stuff. The fear agenda, by the way, which has so well served the Bush administration, hasn't it? I mean, there are just so many threats out there. That's why you should at all times be prepared, which is where American Voice Radio Network comes in again with classy advertisers.
Can your family survive a food shortage lasting 2 weeks, 6 months, or maybe longer? Sound far-fetched? We live in precarious times. There is an ever-increasing possibility of food shortages caused by terrorist attacks, natural disasters, truck strikes, or monetary collapse. You owe it to yourself and family to prepare, and you can by getting a supply of our long-storing, freeze-dried, and dehydrated foods. Our foods are time-tested to store...
What more can I say? Everything you've ever needed to crawl into a hole and hide. And this stuff would be, and is, of course, downright funny if it wasn't so simultaneously downright scary. And speaking of downright scary, that's exactly what it got, as the conversation between Wing TV and Rick Stanley took a rather interesting turn. I'd always imagined Wing TV is a relatively independent news source on the internet. After all, they've had a variety of shades of political opinion on the show, and so I did a serious double take when Victor and Lisa began describing themselves as we in the Patriot movement and seemed to be acting as cheerleaders for a new call for Patriot unity.
Your Wing TV is now pushing to get patriots to come together. Well, we even, when we were doing Babel magazine even, we saw how fractured this movement is, or even if you wouldn't call it fractured, it's just isolated in different pockets, and we're not.
Right, and the whole thing is that, well, we don't have to agree on every single issue. We need to agree on one issue, and that is that we face a common enemy. We need to confront this enemy and defeat it before it destroys us.
Well, you've got my vote. I've been trying to do the same thing
for
a long time. As you both well know, that the government is touching everything in our lives with all of their stepping outside of the boundaries of the Constitution, and they're destroying our lives.
Well, there you go. Didn't that become one cozy little club so quickly? Which got me to wondering what could be behind this sudden drive for patriot unity and Wing TV's enthusiastic cheerleading. Well, I wasn't really wondering, because I sort of know. You see, there has been a bit of a sea change on the internet ever since the 2004 stolen election. And a lot of people, as a result of that, are deeply suspicious, completely and totally skeptical, in fact, of the mainstream media, and they're also rather dubious about a lot of the lines they had spun to them on the internet. I think a lot of people have a sort of a, they're not quite sure how it was done, but they know they were screwed. They're just trying to figure out who did it and why. A lot of them have reached the conclusion that John Kerry was designed to channel a lot of anti-war and anti-Bush sentiment into a Kerry presidential bid, a bid which was to fail. A lot of them think that John Kerry was in on it. In any event, as a result of all that, some websites are experiencing serious drops in traffic. And there were some subtle hints that traffic issues might be at play here.
How many people do you think are watching on an average each day?
You know, we don't even have a hit counter on our site because, you know, we just figure we're doing the same show whether 10 people watch or 100,000.
Well, you know, I'm trying to spread the word for you as best I can.
I know, I appreciate it.
You know, I think that's one of the things that we can do in the Patriot community is we can network.
Well, we also got news of who else is joining this determined march towards patriot unity.
And now that you're bringing in people like Alex Jones and trying to get him to work with the crowd, because, you know, he's been kind of a lone ranger, and I appreciate what he does. But at the same time, in the past, I've been disappointed with Alex in regard to the fact that it didn't seem like he was trying to be a team player with the patriot movement. And now I think he's starting to see that that might be something that he needs to work on.
Well,
as that
might be our only avenue, really, to save ourselves.
We need everybody. We really
absolutely
need everybody.
Absolutely. And I was glad to see you guys extend the olive branch there with him. And by the way, we've installed him as a member of the Patriot A-list as well.
Great.
So, yeah.
Well, Alex Jones, no less, casting in his lot with the Patriot movement. And I suppose he might as well. You see, the missing traffic on the internet for many websites is left-wing traffic. It was left voters, after all, who were screwed with the stolen election, so you can hardly blame them for feeling a bit peeved and suspicious. But there may be just a bit more to this story than just a search for some more listeners. One last clip from the show showing just how cozy all this has become.
You know, I talked to him on the phone a couple weeks ago, and I said, you know, whatever bygones there are, let's put them behind it.
I've seen it with so many different patriot individuals and groups, and it's all a lot of game playing, and the bottom line is the government's going to continue doing what they're doing unless there is some unity going on in this patriot community.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I'll tell you what, we're like the last line in the sand. There isn't anybody else.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
So there you go, all one happy patriot family with a host of skin-deep theories about what happened on 9/11. Well, the answer is in that old left-right divide. It's the left wing that the United States government is worried about. They're worried that the left wing will finally fully wake up and turn into an effective anti-war movement, will begin saying enough is enough and start the fight for social justice in the United States. And they're also worried that the deep suspicions in the left wing about 9/11 will fully mature. So how to prevent that? Well, therein is perhaps the explanation of what's going on. What better way to help ring-fence the left and slow their emerging suspicions about 9/11? If 9/11 skepticism is taken wholeheartedly into the patriot movement, there isn't a better way of discrediting the viewpoint. If the mainstream can paint 9/11 skepticism as merely the rantings and ravings of a lunatic right-wing militia group, well, that's a nice piece of discreditation right there, don't you think? And of course, that's also an excellent way of trying to inoculate the left wing against these crazy right-wing patriot views. Yes, folks, I think they're playing the patriot card. And that's the inside track. And now you're updated. And I better get back to that Popular Mechanics article, the one about 9/11. Yep, after quite a few months with very little happening on the 9/11 issue, 9/11 just got interesting again. I'd like to end with a word of thanks to all those who are supporting the website and radio show. Thank you very much, folks. Without your help, we simply wouldn't be here. And remember, if you haven't subscribed, you can just click on the subscribe link at the top of breakfornews.com homepage and become a charter subscriber at whatever level you can afford. Thanks also to those of you who are emailing your support in. I'll get to some of those emails tomorrow. And I do hope you can take the time to join me then. In the meantime, for breakfornews.com, this has been Fintan Dunn reporting.
A long time ago, way back in the beginning, they thought the ending was getting near. But now we know that every time the darkness goes, that old morning sun will surely rise and smile, do anything in style, whatever they say, smile, we've only here a while. Forget what to say, smile, do what you do in style.